Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Miles Garrett's coming to the Bears. That's what I need to have. Yeah, come.
Make
come
your
to
pitch.
NFC North. Yeah, no, Miles. Come on, bro. Come on.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Roma Dunze. He is going to recruit, apparently. He's got Miles Garrett on the way.
That his offseason plan? That should be the goal of every Bears player, perhaps, to get a guy like that. But I don't think it's conceivable. I don't think that's realistic. I do think the Bears are in a position, though, to head into free agency, which is, I think, about a month away.
March 1st.
But everybody's going down to the combine beginning Sunday.
Yeah.
It's every team is gathering their people, getting them ready, preparing for Sunday, arriving in Indianapolis at the NFL convention known as the NFL Combine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of deals are struck. A lot of ground is covered. You know how this is basically a time where the tampering begins.
That's right. That's exactly
right. It's very implied. It's very covert. It's very real. And this is where you lay a lot of the groundwork for deals that are made in free agency, which is why when free agency hits and the legal tampering period arrives, within 10 minutes, you're like, so-and-so comes to terms with Team A.
Yeah, because you already this is open season. This is where you get a lot of work done.
Yes.
Everybody is there. It's a good spot. I mean, there's already a lot of ideas. People already have a lot of ideas of things exchanged. I wonder, you know, do the Bears need to clear out more money? Would you condone them clearing out more money?
Well,
just because they can, just to get more money. I know they got over 60
million. Here's what they need to
do,
and I don't think it's necessarily a financially driven direction. You have guys who don't fit.
Yes.
And Gerald Everett, their tight end is one of those guys that just doesn't fit.
He's got 1 year left at $6.5 million. There's $1 million buyout. You save $5.5 million.
Okay.
I want to say he had 8 catches last year.
I'm good with that.
I mean,
cut him and move on. This, you're not going
to
miss
him. Shane Waldron brought him in to fit that offense.
He serves a little purpose here. This is cutting season, so you're going to see around the league guys who, because of what you just described, bloated contracts, unfulfilled potential, all those things will be cut loose. And the Bears need to do some trimming. But I think that's unrelated. They don't need to.
No, they don't.
But it always helps.
Okay,
but
let me ask you one. Ryan Bates, he played 3 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had the shoulder that he had to go down to Panama and get stem cell on. He got a concussion at the end of the season.
Right.
He has a $4 million cap figure next year.
Right.
Zero buyout or anything. So you could cut him.
I wouldn't do that.
Save $4 million.
I wouldn't cut an offensive lineman that has experience. You might take a chance that he's healthy and it supplies some depth. I wouldn't promise him anything, but I wouldn't cut him.
What about cutting him to $2 million?
I know that he's a trigger for a lot of people, just like Lucas Patrick would trigger you before. I understand why. I don't think so. Maybe you trim his salary. I think that's a conversation that between him and his agent and what else are you looking at. But I just don't know that you are looking at your biggest need as the offensive line and you're going to get better by cutting a depth piece.
He's not a depth piece if he played three games.
Well, but again, that's last year. I think that you're starting over, fresh look at everybody if you're Ben Johnson. If you think he's injury prone, cut him. But I don't think that you don't have the luxury of making that assumption right now. I think that you've got to see if he can stay healthy. If you've already given up on him, then I don't know that you are being fair or really smart, because that is your biggest need position. I'm not suggesting he's starting, but you don't have anybody that – it's a body count right now. Mm. I know, you're cringy, but I think I'd bring him back. I don't think that he's – neither of those two guys are top of your priority list.
But I'm saying you pick up $10 million roughly, right? You pick up – 9.5 million, maybe that could allow you to go get an actual player.
Well, you need to get a player. You need to get several players in free agency. The good news is they have room under the cap to do so. Everett is expendable, different offense. Bates I would keep because of your depth problem at the offensive line.
I think I'd let him go.
Okay.
I just don't know what he offers.
He offers you depth. But
I mean, he
well, let's not get caught up on Ryan Bates. I mean,
I think it's a good one to get caught up.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's not that important to your overall plans. You are going to be replacing Ryan Bates, Tevin Jenkins, and possibly Braxton Jones on your offensive line.
I think Braxton Jones, he's under contract and he stays.
He stays, yeah.
Because of the reasons you described.
Could be replacing him.
You could get somebody that's...
You could draft somebody who's better. You could sign somebody who's better.
Right. But you're right. They do not have the numbers. They have like five guys that are unrestricted free agents that there's no reason to bring any of them back. Maybe Matt Pryor, but you don't want him starting. But he's the kind of guy that you could give another one-year deal to and get depth in a couple different positions.
Yes, but you're talking about guys who are contributors, role players. Right. I want the Bears to think big as we sit here days before the NFL Combine. And I want them to look at free agency as an opportunity to not just supplement their offensive line, but redefine it. You need to rebuild it. And you need to go into free agency aggressively seeking guys like Trey Smith, like Drew Dowman, which I think is interesting because the Falcons center, the fourth-rated guy, according to PFF, is a free agent. He's 26 years old from Stanford. He'll be out there. You need a center. Trey Smith, we heard yesterday, and this I think is what the Bears need to work through and focus on. The franchise tag could be used on Trey Smith by the Chiefs. That would take him off the market. I don't think they're going to do that.
They claim they're not. The reports are that they're going to throw a transition tag. I think
the transition tag. Yeah, the transition tag is different from the franchise tag, because a transition tag allows you the right of first refusal. You let somebody else set the market for him. Bears. You let somebody else determine what he's worth. Bears. So if you think that Trey Smith is a $22.5 million a year guard that's going to change the complexion of your team for next year and be the cornerstone around which you build your offensive line or rebuild it, Bears. Then you set the market,
Bears,
and you give the Chiefs a chance to match it, but you structure the deal in such a way that it kills their salary cap if they do so.
Yeah, here's the deal. He's probably worth more to the Bears than he's worth. In other words, that is top dollar stuff, but they have to get three players to start, a center and two guards.
Can we agree on one premise? One premise about free agency.
Bears.
You've got to overpay.
Oh, that's the whole point.
You've got to be willing to overpay.
But that's free agency is you're paying top dollar for draft mistakes.
This is the off season of overpaying. Would you agree that maybe $13 million for a first-time head coach might be overpaying?
That's overpaying.
Okay, fine. Continue the trend. Yep. You're not in a position to be frugal. And I don't think the Bears will be.
And but you just made me pause because I was kind of like, Ryan Bates, like, what do you really have there? What don't you have? And you were like, I wouldn't even worry about it. And then you said that I feel about him like I do about Lucas Patrick. And I thought to myself, these are the kind of players they brought in. Lucas Patrick and Ryan Bates. Like, okay. You want to know what the problem is? Is that you don't draft linemen, you don't develop linemen, and then you sign guys that are not top-level players.
Fairness alert, Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones were two decent draft picks.
No doubt about
it. Decent draft picks. So I think those are two examples of pros, but the cons are outweighing
but
the pros.
To have Braxton Jones, a fifth round pick, as your starting left tackle is like, regardless of how you feel about how good he is or whatever, that's like hitting it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you feel like you didn't invest enough in your starting left tackle. But he's done very well for being a fifth-round pick.
He's done very well. He's serviceable.
The problem is that
he's also injured.
You need a lot more
you do.
Of that. And
so
you
that's
needed
my plan.
To be drafting guys like
that's
that
the Bears' plan.
Years ago.
That should be the Bears' plan. You look at this offensive line, you want a blueprint for success, then you...
Well, then you pay big money for a guard, and you get a decent money for a center... And then you can line up your team. You get depth pieces.
Yes, because the draft allows you that luxury. The three picks and the first 41 picks overall gives you that kind of autonomy that you can be –
The failure to invest in the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball and I mean I'm not counting like money investment. I'm talking about draft pick investment. That means that – you have little choice but to draft those positions this year.
You can't get cute with this draft.
No.
As much as we could talk ourselves into the idea, some of us, into Ashton Jeanty at number 10 or trading down, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Don't talk to me about the tight ends that are there. Tyler Warren is a great guy, a great weapon. It doesn't really make any sense. What does make sense is... If you're sitting there at 10 and either Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks from Texas, the left tackles are there, you take them.
And if you have to, there's a guard from Alabama that's pretty good.
Maybe.
Might be a little high.
That's a little high. I trade down.
But there are a couple of defensive tackles and a couple of pass rushers that you should take there if neither tackle is available.
Well, let's talk hypothetical then, because here we are in February, days before the NFL Combine.
Will Campbell, by the way, is not like, he's got one of these, you know.
He's got the short arm issue.
He's got this issue.
He's got the short arm issue. I know you're getting caught up on that. It's true.
I get caught up in that because it's real.
I know it's real. I know it's real. Did you see Jake Butt the other day on the Big Pro Football Show talk about his experience with short arms and his example? He's talked about what you're just describing. When in camp, he was trying to block Von Miller, and he was a short arm guy at the combine.
Jake Butt. Oh, Jake was a short arm guy?
Yes. And he remembered being evaluated by a scout, but from the Packers, and they were looking at him and they're measuring him, and he looked at him like, and he shook his head when he measured his arms,
is that right?
Like it was right away. And then he found out later what they meant because it was more difficult. So it is real. I don't want to dismiss it.
Yeah.
But Will Campbell's a guy that if he's there at 10, Mully, I think that you're going to be compelled to take him if you're the Bears.
I wouldn't argue with that. He's a really good player. He can do a lot of different things, but you would be concerned. And I know this sounds crazy, just like an inch and a half, 2 inches.
He might be. There's going to be concerns with every draft pick.
Serious issue.
But if you find your left tackle in the draft and you go out in free agency and you say you sign Drew Dahlman from the Falcons and you overpay for Trey Smith from the Chiefs.
Then you're on your way.
Then you're on your way. What have you done to your team?
You've upgraded everybody.
Are you a playoff team? If you rebuild the offensive line this offseason, or are you a team that can win more than they lose?
I'm not sure you can rebuild your offensive line in this offseason. I think you're going to be a player short. I just think that they'd have to...
Competition at left guard, a left tackle you draft, a center you buy, and a right guard you buy. So then you have Darnell Wright at right tackle. That's a pretty good improvement over last year.
Yeah.
Theoretically. If that was the plan.
You know, also get a pass rusher and a defensive tackle.
That's all.
That's it.
I don't know if you can do everything.
You need more, is all I'm saying. You need more. I'm talking about just in the trenches.
You're always going to need more. But I just don't know if that's realistic to get more. And all those things that you need is back to the original thing we came in with. I would not be willing to give up the draft capital necessary to get Myles Garrett at this stage of his career. I don't think it would be worth it for the Bears to even get in that conversation.
Yeah,
you need too much.
I mean, I would have to look at it, but I'm all for Myles Garrett. I think he's an absolute monster. I think
after everything we just said, you would trade the draft picks for Myles Garrett? Two firsts?
Well, I mean, you're talking about next year's draft. You're not talking about...
Well, I think it would take probably... Maybe a first this year, a first next year, or maybe two.
Do they get the extra threes? Are they going to is Ian Cunningham getting a GM job? Can we please get some extra threes?
Well, will that affect your Myles Garrett conversation?
Yes, because it give you more, more power to trade.
Ian Cunningham is a finalist in Jacksonville. He's one of five. He could get the job, but who knows?
Get that job.
They have not made
that
decision yet. Do you really think that Ryan Poles, based on his history with third round draft picks, gives you a lot of confidence he'll know what to do with that?
I told you, what you got to do is you got to make that a scout round. You just have the scouts pick that.
That's the Ben Johnson round. You let your new head coach pick out a guy because
you can't.
You haven't shown an ability to. Zach Pickens, Velus Jones.
Yeah.
And there was a third rounder.
It was Zach Pickens was last year. It wasn't Noah Sewell, was it? Who was it?
No.
It was
they struggled.
I know who it was.
They've struggled at that position drafting, and I don't know, but it would be a good benefit. You'd get a third round this year and a third round next year. And so that would be worth. So you're saying way to go.
Kieran Amagaji, Pickens, Velus Jones, David Montgomery, Jonathan Bullard.
We're just talking
about Poles. I know. I'm just talking about Amagaji. These are the most recent third round picks I'm reading you.
Amagaji, Pickens,
Velus Jones
are guys that are third round picks that Ryan Poles has selected, and it's hard to see. Maybe Kieran Amagaji is the guy that moves inside at guard and competes for that left guard spot. Who knows?
21-20, they didn't even have a third round pick.
Thank God.
Screw up.
But if Ian Cunningham comes back now, where does he fit into the Bears hierarchy in front office? Because that seat next to Ryan Poles is taken.
I see. You're saying
is he the director of pro personnel or the director of college scouting then?
I don't know, but that seat next to Ryan Poles, that confidant role, is taken.
No, I think that he'd still be buddies and friends, and they'd kind of be reporting to the guy.
The
who
voice
you believe
would be a lot
is,
less. It would not be
he's
as strong.
He's the new Joey Gallo of the Bears.
The voice would not be as strong.
The head coach would be kind of the guy.
The head coach is got all the clout.
He's got the clout.
And then number two would be the general manager. And where does Ian Cunningham fit in that hierarchy? Not in the same way that he did before.
No. Everybody's
Jeff King has ascended
back.
Probably a little bit more.
Jeff King is their pro personnel guy. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's his title. But he played a big role behind the scenes in getting Ben Johnson to Chicago. So he's valued, especially by Ben Johnson, I would think. So I think Ian Cunningham comes back. They let him interview for all these jobs. They freed him up from all the preparation moving forward. So he's got to kind of get one, doesn't he?
Boy, he needs to get one. He does. Because you need those draft picks. All due respect to him, I mean, look, you're right. The power there has been a shift in power, which started with Kevin Warren coming in and taking over, and now is the head coach seems to have a lot of power. So let's get him a lot of offensive line help. And don't fall asleep on the
There's a suggestion out there in the NFL, as you know, that you don't build through Free agency you build through the draft, and doing so is dangerous. But I would look at the guys that we mentioned at least. Drew Dowman and Trey Smith are not guys on the wrong side of 30. They're not guys who have a lot of miles in those tires.
That's right.
They're Dalman's 26, and I think Trey Smith is 25. I think they're building blocks, and they are affordable if you're the Bears and Ryan Poles.
Yeah. All right, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We're going to bring in our guy, Bruce Levine, and we'll talk about what's going on in Arizona with both sides of town, and we'll get Bruce's take on this All-Star Game stuff, too. I know he's passionate about it.
He is. He's been pushing it.
It's time. Let's get one in Chicago. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Bruce, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, excitement here in Mesa, Arizona, as Justin Turner getting ready to join the Chicago Cubs. Commissioner in town yesterday talking to everybody. White Sox have their little news, not much, but where do you want to begin today?
Let's start with Turner. What do you see his role as, and what do you see his contribution being? Is he a better kind of intangible guy than actual physical player at this point?
Yeah, that's a terrific question, because we don't know that. I think the intangibles we've talked about at length, even yesterday before he signed. The fact that he brings the idea of a playoff experienced guy, a guy that never gets rattled, can come up late in the game and win it with a pinch hit, maybe go in and DH against tough left-handers, 25, 30 times during the year, be there for that big pinch hit at the end of a ball game, where Craig Counsell last year had to use Patrick Wisdom. He now has the gravitas and the player that's been there and done it in Justin Turner. So for $6 million, it's a lot of money for a backup player, but it shows that the Cubs are serious about having the extra men they need at the end of a ball game.
So, Bruce, Rob Manfred addressed the possibility of Wrigley Field hosting an All-Star game in 2027. I know this has been something you have been pushing for a very long time. What did Rob Manfred say that made you feel better or worse about the situation, and how, if it was at all different from what we heard from Crane Kenny back at the Cubs convention?
Well, I think the fact that Rob Manfred addressed it and said the Cubs are doing what they need to do. So I guess people will say, well, what do they need to do? Number one foremost is security around the ballpark, okay? The security of having barriers. The Cubs have practiced that with part-time barriers throughout the last two seasons around the ballpark when the game begins. Number two, maybe it's 1A, and that is the mayor being on board for a big event in Chicago. Is this something that he wants, that they want, that they'll work together? I think number three is the logistics of rerouting Clark Street and Addison Street buses, you know, two mainstream lines for Chicago streets. And where do these buses go when they're being rerouted during the All-Star week? It's not just the All-Star game. You know, it's Home Run Derby. It's an entire week of festivities. So how does that work for Chicago and the working people of the city? Those are the things that they're trying to tighten up right now before they get the game.
How close to that is, I mean, how close to fruition would that be? If they can get that done, is it a lock that they'll get the game? I mean, are the Cubs, is MLB looking at this and saying, yeah, All-Star game in Chicago makes sense?
Yeah, they want them there, and they want them there in 2027. That's the next opening for Major League Baseball. And I think, you know, if they can get some things tied up, I think Major League Baseball will announce that the Cubs are getting that game in 2027. I know the Cubs are keeping their fingers crossed. They want it, obviously. They haven't had it here in 37 years. There's seven or eight teams that have had two All-Star games already in their cities since the Cubs have had one in 1990. Cubs have only had three in history, you know, going back to 47, 62, and 90. So it's way above time, you know, 36 years. Mm.
It does seem odd, though, that the Cubs did have a World Series in 2016, and they don't have the security capability to host an All-Star game. I know that may be getting too far in the weeds on this, but it just seems to be a consistent obstacle that I think, I wonder, had they already cleared? The World Series went off without a hitch, Bruce. That's got to be convincing to someone.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? There's probably an All-Star game missing up until 1988 when they first got lights. Because when they started to make this game under the lights back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, that changed everything. And Wrigley didn't have the ability to have that night game. So they probably missed one along the way. But again, it's more of a logistics thing. And security now compared to 1990 and the real threat of, you know, somebody, a terrorist or a group, something like that, you know, doing something to a ballpark. It's so much more real now than we were facing, you know, 35 years ago.
So, Bruce, we know the opening game in Japan, the first game of the season, technically, even though they're going back to training camp after the first two games, is starting Shota a reward for his season? Is it a nod to the reality of him and his homeland? Or what I'm asking is Justin Steele at all injured or, you know, damaged or, you know, peeved that he doesn't get to do it again? You thought he put together a nice run of starts.
As the Cub officials said off the record yesterday, it was a no-brainer, yeah. Okay? I mean, here you have one of the surprise. Imanaga was one of the best pitchers in baseball, not the best Cub pitcher, the best pitchers in baseball. He was ignored as a rookie of the year candidate. Obviously, Skeens was going to win that. But, you know, when you win, when your team wins 22 out of 28 games that you start and you are as impressive as he is, you know, there was probably four games where he was bad and he got beat around. The rest, he was terrific. So I don't think there's even if he wasn't Japanese and they didn't have a Japanese player, he would be starting. That's how good he was last year. And this one is, you know, Yamamoto against him, Dodgers, and the, you know, just the coming of age for Japanese players in Major League Baseball. Not just coming here, but being dominant players, some of the best players in the history of the game playing right now.
Bruce, how would you advise us to discuss, as we already have, the Vlad Guerrero Jr. news out of Toronto? He's entering the final year of his deal. The Blue Jays can't sign him. They basically, he's now a rental player. If you're the Cubs, do you inquire?
You do, but you can't sign him and Turner, can you?
No, but that's not the question. How badly do you want to win this year?
Well, they want to win badly. I mean, it's a good question from that perspective. There's no doubt. I mean, he has a slug, and, you know, I think you could fit him in somehow in your salary cap, but I don't know. Are you going to give up three players for the 1 year of him? How much of your farm system are you willing to give up, David? You answer that question.
One everyday player, probably Bush, Horner, or Suzuki, and two prospects.
Okay, for one shot.
For one shot. If not now, when?
And a year from now, you won't be saying to me, boy, that was a really bad trade for Guerrero.
I might, Bruce, but you know what? You only live once. YOLO.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, look, by all...
Well, his look was all, priceless.
The perspective...
I think it was the YOLO. That was what got me.
I'm sorry. It's,
the perspective is right. That's what they're doing, David. You're just responding to how they're going after Tucker, how they're going after, you know, bullpen help one time, 1 year and out. It's a trend around baseball a little bit. I mean, you don't think the New York Yankees are going to pay him $50 million a year times 10 after 1 year of Goldschmidt playing first base
no
for
brainer.
The Yankees?
Yep, no
yeah,
brainer.
Yeah, I mean there'll be competition, but, you know, again, I like the trade for 1 year. I don't like giving up a huge amount of inventory for, you know, a player that's pretty good in Bush. I mean, nobody really seems to like what he did last year or can project him that, you know, his improvement's going to be linear. It's hard to do that, but he was a pretty impressive player for a rookie year.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy. Always fun.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great day.
You too.
That is our guy, Bruce Lefine. We're going to get to Chris Chelios. We got to talk to Chelly. We're going to have him break down this game for us. Very curious to see how Chris feels about a chance for the U.S.
He's
to win
been on the
tournament.
Ice representing his country in
yes,
the biggest of
has.
Moments. He can
yes,
relate he to that intensity that we're going to see
yeah.
on the ice Thursday night.
And does he believe that there will be some fisticuffs in this one starting early?
My sense is Chelly probably loved that.
Yeah, I bet he did.
I bet he did.
He's old time, old school. All right, Chris Chelios joins us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
But you know what? You only live once. YOLO.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
Bet MGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joining us now is BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios. BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas, and Chris joins us on the Score hotline, brought to you by Aturo. Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. A little jet lag, but I'm good.
Back from Russia.
Russia, yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful so, Russia. It was a great trip. Three hockey games. Spent some time with my son. But really good time, quite honestly.
How'd it go for you, Grandpa? Everything go fine?
Well, that part didn't happen. He's still holding on to that baby, so I missed that part of it. But any minute now, I'm guessing.
Wow, that's something. So the U.S. playing Canada, you've been in these games before. This has been a really fun tournament to watch. And the first game was like it had elements of a lot of bad blood, three fights in whatever it was, 9 minutes. What are you anticipating tomorrow night?
Well, I don't think it's gonna have that type of start. That was incredible. I mean, everybody's talking about it. When I was in Russia when it happened, so it was a 4 a.m. game. So me and Reed Simpson stayed up and watched it. But those Tkachuk brothers put on a show, and I don't think you're going to see that. Unfortunately, you know, the Tkachuks are some type of injuries.
Right.
McAvoy's hurt. Also, who else? Matthews has got the bad back. So that's kind of disappointing that they're not going in healthy. But, you know, they got Hellenbuck. Their D's been solid. It's going to be a great game. And after that first game, everybody's going to be looking forward to this. But I can't see that type of – I'm sure it's going to be physical. They sure hate each other. So that part's great.
How much do you attach the way the game started with the way the game went? And how much credit do you give that – maybe spark of whatever emotional surge was created by three fights in 9 seconds leading to the victory?
Yeah, no question. It reminds me so much of 96. I think they showed some highlights of that, too, when Keith Tkachuk fought Claude Lemieux in the first game of the best of three. Billy Guerin fought Primo. I think Hatcher was Tracy Lindros around. It was one of those deals where, you know, we felt that we've been intimidated by them for years, and Paul Holmgren was our assistant coach. I don't know if you remember that name, Paul Holmgren. He's still involved with the Flyers. But he was, you know, he got Tkachuk and Guerin and these guys all wound up during practices. And we knew it was coming. So and it's just like, wow. And then you got the Tkachuk boys. I've seen them, you know, I've watched them race since 1996. These kids beat each other up. So it was something to see. It really was.
Yeah, it was great. I think between periods, Matthew went on the broadcast and said that when they're on the ice together, they get pretty honest and pretty brutal with each other, which I thought was hysterical. The idea and there's like a 5-year age difference, but the two of them barking at each other. I just hope they're healthy because they were. I don't see much Brady Tkachuk. I didn't know that he was as much of a dog as he was in that game. I mean, I don't get a lot of Ottawa Senators hockey on my TV, but that was spectacular. The two of them playing off each other and barking at each other and the whole intensity of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, Brady, you know, Matthews, JT Miller, they're up in Canada playing, and we don't get a chance to see, you know, some of our best U.S. players, unfortunately. But you got to see it there. And Miller fighting, I can't ever say his name right, Paprenko for the kid from St. Louis. But, it was great. You get excited playing for the team, the country. And these guys, like I said, and the skill level that went along with it for the game. It was just an unbelievable game to watch back and forth. And then, you know, to win it in Canada like that, similar to 96 when we won in Montreal. Now it's back in Boston, a little more pressure on the U.S. team on the home ice. But, again, Canada's always claiming it's their game, but there's no question U.S. is caught up and can compete at any level.
So tomorrow night, Cale Makar is going to be playing. He didn't do the first time. Auston Matthews should be healthy after taking Monday night off. When you look at this game, whether it's because of home ice or whatever the case may be, you look at the star power. Maybe Canada's got some more of the guys like McDavid and McKinnon and Crosby, but what do you see as the key to tomorrow night?
I honestly, goaltending. I think we got him with, you know, with Hellebuck compared to Binnington. That's probably the big advantage of defense that we stack up with him. Makar, though, that kid, what he did a couple of years ago, he won the Conn Smythe. If he has a game like that, sometimes, you know, there's nothing you can do about it when a guy steps up. I think back at 2002 when Joe Sakic put on a show in that gold medal game. So someone's going to have to step up on the U.S. team for sure, especially with the absence or at least the injuries of these guys, and hopefully they can pull it out.
Chris, what do you think the NHL teams are thinking as they're watching these guys go at it the way they are? I mean, it's a great advertisement for the sport. And I heard Jack Eichel say that that this game will be like a game 7 in the Stanley Cup. You know, this is it. You lay it all out there. I'm wondering if teams are looking at it and thinking, well, wait a minute now. Let's not get carried away because we still have part of our season left, right?
Yeah, no, there's no question. I think owners and GMs right now are cringing at this game after watching that last game. I'm sure of it. They're not big fans, the league, of you know, it's great, this concept they came up with, the Four Nations. But at the end of the day, you got, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, a good example, the last 2 years in the finals, won the Stanley Cup. Why risk it? Whatever his injury is, if it's something, you know, that could be injured more, you know, I'm sure these guys in Florida are just, you know, Billy Zito's probably just telling them not to play. But, yeah, there's no question in their hearts. But it's such a big game, you know, at this level, and what they did that first game, put on a heck of a show. Everybody's talking about it across the country, even people who didn't watch hockey. They're like, what the hell was that? Like, it was great.
When you look at this game, Chelly, do you look at it in from the Blackhawk context of who might fit in free agency, and Mitch Marner, who had back in the first game of the Four Nations faceoff, had the overtime going, like, okay, future Blackhawk. Oh, what would it take for Brady Tkachuk to hit free agency? How long until then? Or do you just enjoy the tournament? Because it's impossible for some people to look at it and not imagine those guys at one point in time being traded or signed by the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Like, look what happened, you know, Miller in Vancouver. He would have been a great kid to pick up just because of the dispute he had with Pedersen there. And it happens. Matthew Tkachuk, whoever would ever have thought, he left Calgary. Brady, another one. I think he signed a long-term deal, but if he decides he wants to, you know, get a trade. So it always happens. Those players, they, you know, they say they're not available, and all of a sudden they pop up, and then hopefully we'll be able to be one of those teams that, obviously, we got cap space, and we can land one of those guys and build around him and Connor and the rest of the guys, the young kids.
You know, I don't claim to know everything about hockey, but it's fairly obvious that the defense for the U.S. has been phenomenal, and they're playing with the goalie. Like, the guys around them are playing great hockey, and I just don't know if that's enough, unless you got all your firepower, right? You need all hands on deck for a game of this magnitude.
Yeah, and if there's any advantage Canada does has, it's their depth. Some of the guys, you know, and U.S., we don't have that luxury. More and more, it's been getting closer over the years, but I'm still shocked, and I'll say it. I hope Billy Guerin and those guys aren't mad at me, but that Kane's not there.
Same here.
You know, I don't care what you say. He's done it. He's won championships. He's won silver medal. I'm just still can't believe what it was, his stature and what he's done in the past, that they didn't pick Kaner.
I thought the same thing the other night when they scored one goal. I know it was a nothing game, but still, they could have used him, and they could use him tomorrow night.
Yeah, on a big, you know, stage there, Kaner's, he's done it. And you know, it's one goal, right, on the power play. No one's better to this day still than Kaner on that PP, especially with the skill level that team has. And no disrespect to any of the guys that made the team. They all deserve to be there, but I think Kaner, you know, out of what he's done, should have been on that team.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks a ton. Really
Thanks,
fun.
Chris. Enjoy the game.
All right, guys. Take care. I will.
That is Chris Chelios. That's
he's
awesome.
So right, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on your bandwagon. let's take a break. We're going to have Tony Granato on. We're going to talk to him. We'll go to Pride of Downers Grove, and we'll break down that game some more. Let's talk hockey. Let's do that, hockey. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.